As we have come to the last Sunday in the Paschal season, this fifth Sunday after Easter, just before the ascension of our Lord. In the Western tradition, this Sunday is also called Rogation Sunday, in which the faithful of the church would historically have the seeds of their planting and their fields blessed by the priest, as this represented historically, and at least within the Northern Hemisphere, the time of planting. But the term rogation derives from the Latin word rogare, which literally means to ask. As the Paschal season was coming to an end and the ascension lay just ahead, a few days ahead, the joyous and festal season of Pascha closed out with a certain disposition of prayer and indeed penitence, anticipating that time, that short time between the ascension and Pentecost, during which the faithful would experience a liturgical absence of the presence of the risen Lord. This Rogation Sunday, and the few days following, called Rogation Days, therefore was dedicated to prayer and supplication. It was a time to come before God, to ask Him for His divine favor and mercy, to seek the Lord with our whole hearts, and in our longing to ask, rogare, to ask the Lord to offer our request before the throne of grace in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. But this whole notion of asking in the name of Jesus is something that in the spiritual shallowness and materialism of certain sectors of Protestant Christianity in particular has become misunderstood and indeed corrupted in terms of what Jesus was actually teaching here in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. In the opening verse of our Gospel lesson this morning, and we added a little bit ahead of that by mistake, but be that as it may, in what should have been the opening verse, in verse 23 of John chapter 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "Most assuredly," or in the King James, "verily, verily," quite literally, the words are "amen, amen." That is to say, he was about ready to say something very important. He said, "Verily, verily," or "most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Jesus is saying, if you ask the Father for something in my name, in the name of Jesus, he will give it to you. There is certainly a profound and eternal truth to the efficacy of our asking when done in the name of Jesus. But what we see happening in much of popular Christian culture is missing what Jesus was actually teaching. In the last few decades, we have witnessed the rise of the so-called faith and prosperity teaching and preaching. These preachers, these aberrant preachers and teachers who in their own pursuit of material and temporal blessings are taking this passage of Scripture, misinterpreting it, and teaching and insisting that if you simply pray in the name of Jesus and with faith and belief, that God will grant your request. Do you see something wrong with this? It's as though we're holding God hostage because we simply say in the name of Jesus that we are pulling the strings of God. So they are taught to pray, "Lord, Get me that raise at work in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal me from my sickness in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to get that new car in the name of Jesus. Lord, provide me a parking space when I have to go downtown this morning in the name of Jesus. And while we should indeed pray and are taught to pray in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus, as our Lord teaches such an approach to prayer that is taught by these faith and prosperity teachers, really misuses the name of Jesus. It misses the point of Jesus' teaching. It misuses the name of Jesus in a way that functions more as an incantation to Christianize one's own materialistic desires and self-centered desires. Yes, our Lord invites us, and don't misunderstand me. Our Lord invites us to make even our most trivial requests known before Him. But praying in the name of Jesus and this idea of simply attaching in the name of Jesus to a prayer is not what Jesus meant when He said that whatsoever we ask in His name, the Father will give us. So how has the church understood this? What does it really mean to ask and to pray in the name of Jesus? Well, the Venerable Bede, St. Bede, wrote this. Not only do people like us not receive many things we seek to ask of the Father in Christ's name, but even the Apostle Paul himself asked the Lord three times that the angel of Satan with which he was tormented might depart from him, and he was not able to obtain what he asked. But the perplexity caused by this question has already been resolved by the old explanations of the fathers. They understood truthfully that those people alone ask in the name of the Savior who ask for the things that pertain to eternal salvation. Whenever we are not listened to when we ask, it happens either because we are asking for something contrary to what would aid our salvation, and for this reason, the grace of His kindness is denied us by our merciful Father because we are unsuitably asking, or because we are asking for things that are indeed useful for and connected with true salvation, but we ourselves, by our evil lives, divert away from us the voice of the just judge. So to ask in the name of Jesus is not simply a tack on at the end of our prayer, but signifies a certain disposition of heart. The disposition of the heart and soul that seeks union with God, in line with His divine will for our salvation and for our healing. To pray in the name of Jesus is to essentially say, God, through the mediation and intercessions of our Lord Jesus, the great high priest, may Your will be done, even as I may not know what is best for me at this time. To ask in the name of Jesus is to acknowledge that our request may not be best for us, and that in praying in the name of Jesus, we are giving over our very lives and even our deepest desires to a faith-filled and transformative encounter with the holy will of God, who leads us to a life of salvation and sanctification, holiness, and healing of our soul, even as our requests may go unanswered. In the name of Jesus, to ask, pray, and indeed to live life in the name of Jesus is to, in essence, join ourselves to Christ and in the divine work of God in overcoming evil and bringing us into a life of true salvation and wholeness. in the name of Jesus is to abide in a divinized life that brings us out of the shallowness and bondage of our own pursuits for self-gratification, out of our own self-centeredness, and to find freedom in a life hidden in God through Christ, even as we are unaware of the fullness of His plans or the fruit that He will finally bring to fruition in our own lives as we faithfully trust His holy will. In the name of Jesus, is to give ourselves over to Him, even as we face the bitterness, the trials and tribulations of this world with seemingly little reprieve. Jesus said in the last chapter of our lesson this morning in John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In the name of Jesus means joining ourselves to Him who has overcome the world, who is victorious over all the tragedies and strife of this world. In the name of Jesus is to enflesh, to incarnationalize the gospel, to make visible through the piety and virtues of our works of love and charity, even in the harshest of life, the harshest circumstances of life, even in the tragedies of life. From our epistle lesson this morning, in James chapter 1, verse 22, he admonishes us, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Be doers of the word and not hearers only. St. James is telling us the same thing. He's telling us to enflesh the gospel with our very lives, reaching out in ministry in the name of Jesus, united to Jesus, united to His works. He goes on to say in verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." In the name of Jesus is to make visible Christ to the world, and especially to those who are hurting, to those who are lost, to those who are troubled and anxious, to those who have lost their way, to those who have no hope and despair. This past week was National Police Memorial Week, in which we honored those law enforcement officers, police and correctional officers and parole and probation agents who have given their lives in the line of duty for their communities. And on Friday, the final day culminating the week, was National Peace Officers Memorial Week. And on that morning, Friday morning, May 15th, a very tragic event happened in Clarksville, Arkansas. And I want to read just an excerpt of the article outlining this event. Dakota Smith, a senior and varsity tackle at Clarksville High School in Arkansas, was set to graduate on Friday, May 15th. But on the morning of the 15th, Dakota and his family were shattered by the news that his dad, a reserve deputy with the Johnson County Sheriff's Office, had lost his life in a heroic exchange of gunfire with a burglary suspect. The young man was, of course, devastated. But through their understandable grief, the decision was made that he would still attend the ceremonies held at Arkansas Tech University in Russellville. Even though the graduation was just mere hours away from the tragedy of the reserve deputy, a contingent of area law enforcement officers quickly assembled in proxy for Dakota's dad, who was unable to witness his eldest son, Mark, the competition of a successful high school career. as Dakota ascended the stage for the obligatory ceremonial walk to get his diploma, the attendees filling the gymnasium rose to a standing ovation, and police officers standing in for his father at the side of the platform presented a dignified hand salute. Many tears were shed in those moments. Said Mark Freeman, who was making an account of the event for the local River Valley Leader, said, "Just witnessed one of the most touching moments I've ever seen. Just an incredible outpouring of love for a young man and his family who are going through unimaginable pain today." You see, as we reach out in love, as we reach out in with healing hands to those who are hurting, to those who are in pain, we make visible, we make manifest the church. We enflesh the gospel, the hope of Christ who has trampled down death by death. And so as we take leave of this Paschal season, I exhort you to minister in the name of Jesus, such that the name of Jesus proclaims not only our prayer and disposition of heart, but that in the name of Jesus, we may continue to make visible and present His love, His divine embrace, His healing presence to those in the world around us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.